Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state. And she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. I'd like to start by reviewing where we left off in the last show, savings for your future, figuring out your savings component of All Your Worth. So part one was traditional savings, which are monthly contributions to a retirement account. If you make an annual contribution, divide the total by 12. If your employer contributes to a retirement account or pension, include that amount also. And of course, we're keeping track of this. So if you have a pen, figure that out and write it down. The next part of traditional savings, called other savings, is the total amount of any other monthly savings, such as college savings accounts or passbook savings accounts. If your savings varies from month to month, add all your savings from the last year and divide the total by 12. So that's traditional savings. The next thing we want to compute is debt payment. If you make extra payments beyond the regular monthly payment to pay off the principal of your mortgage, car loan, or student loan, add up the extra payments you make each month. If your payments vary from month to month, include all the extra payments for the last year and divide by 12. However, do not include credit card payments here. We'll bring those up later. So what we looked at now is new savings. So you add up all your traditional savings and then your debt payment and put that number aside. The second part is the credit card debt. So if you regularly carry a substantial balance on your credit card, calculate the amount by which your balance is growing or shrinking. Credit card balances over 1 year ago minus today's balance, and you divide that by 12. If your balance has been increasing, this will be a negative number. If your balance has been shrinking, this will be a positive number. If you don't usually carry a balance, or if your balance is fairly small, less than $200, just enter zero. Now we're going to compute all of this by making a sum. The total monthly savings equals the new savings, which we just discussed, plus the credit card debt, which we just discussed. If you entered a negative number in the credit card debt, you should subtract your credit card debt from your new savings. If your debt is growing faster than your savings, your total monthly savings number will be a negative. This means you are spending more than you are saving. And then we're going to convert that to a monthly savings score, which equals the total monthly savings plus after-tax income from worksheet one, which we did. This means your total monthly savings divided by the after-tax income, which we calculated in a former show on worksheet one, times 100. If the total monthly savings subtotal is negative, then this number is going to be negative 2. And what we're going to come up with here is a percentage. Remember, savings is a 20% category. Now let's look at some of the issues that might have come up. So the first issue is, what if the amount you save varies a lot from month to month? Calculate the total amount you saved over the past year and divide it by 12. If you don't know how much you saved over the past year, just do your best to estimate your average savings over the past few months. Now, the second point is, you carry a balance on your credit card. What should you enter in part two? The goal is to calculate how much your credit card balance is growing or shrinking every month. Suppose your balance was $900 one year ago, and today it's $1,500. So you take the $900 minus the current balance of $1,500, and that equals a negative $600. And you divide that by 12, which equals negative $50 a month. In this example, you would enter minus $50 next to your credit card debt. This means your credit card balance has been rising by an average of $50 each month. If you don't know your credit card balance from one year ago, just find a statement from a few months ago and calculate the average amount by which your balance has been rising or falling each month. Next point is, you pay your credit card balance most months. Do you need to enter anything for your credit card debt in part two? No, you don't. Only people who carry an outstanding balance month after month need to fill in their credit card balance. If you pay off your balance every month, or almost every month, you can just enter zero next to credit card debt. The next point is, you took out a home equity loan to pay off your credit card balance. Does that count as savings? Emphatically no. You still owe the money, although now you owe it to the mortgage company instead of the credit card company. So your debt is still the same. And moreover, if you haven't done this, do not do it. It is a very foolish thing to do. You are securing unsecured debt, and that in the long run is dangerous. And one more point, your savings and debts are all over the place, so you're confused. The goal here is to help you get a snapshot of whether you're getting ahead or falling behind each month. Don't get too caught up in trying to get this perfect. We're just trying to help you to get where you need to go. And as we mentioned before, you came up with a monthly savings score. This is the percentage of your income that is going to savings. This is the amount by which you are getting ahead or falling behind on a monthly basis. And let's try to understand our monthly savings score now. If you have 20% plus, then you are a super big saver, and you should get a congratulations. You are socking it away. This keeps you safe, and it will make it possible for you to turn some big dreams into big reality. Good job. If you are 12 to 20%, you are a strong saver. The future is clearly important to you. You are carving out a good-sized slice of your money for savings, and you've made the future an important part of your day-to-day spending plan. Very good job. You are well into the safety zone. Keep aiming at 20% for your future so you get on the road to building some real wealth. The next percentage area is 6 to 12%. You're a solid saver. You've made a solid start on putting your future first, and you're way ahead of most of your neighbors. You need to push a little harder, but the good news is that you're already on the right path. The next category is the 0 to 5% starving saver. Does it seem that every time you get ahead, something happens to pull you back? Do you want to save, but it doesn't work out? Does it seem like you have put all your dreams on hold? You know how important it is to save, but you aren't giving yourself enough room for real progress. Now's the time to dig in and push hard on your other expenses so you can find the money to build your lifetime security. Stick with it. All your worth will help you start building real wealth. And I will come back to this after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now the final category. Let's suppose you're less than 0%. You are in the hole. Are you falling behind instead of getting ahead? Are you worried that real trouble may be just around the corner? Does it seem like the hole just gets deeper and there's no way out? This is a scary place to be, and we're going to help you break free. You can find your way out of debt and learn how to stay out of debt once and for all. This is the first step in building a future you look forward to instead of one that makes you want to cover your head. Professor Warren expresses that she knows 20% for savings may still look like a lot of money. For some of you, it may seem as far off as having cities on Mars and about as crazy as a dream. But don't worry. We're not going to shake a finger and then leave you on your own. Instead, we're going to start by helping you get control over your must-haves and your wants. By the time we're ready to focus on your savings, the money will already be there. Now let's head on to the fourth category. That is the fourth worksheet, which is your wants. You may be feeling a little nervous about this part, afraid that you're going to be asked to account for every last ice cream cone and pinball game. But don't worry, you don't have to run around with a notebook writing down everything you buy. The calculation for what you spend on wants is the simplest one of all. All you need to do is recognize that all of your money is 100%, and this is a calculation, so get your pen out, minus must-have score. That was what we did before from worksheet 2. So what percentage is that? Then you minus your monthly savings score, which is what we did today. If this was a negative number, you should add it instead of subtracting. So we're looking at 100% minus must-have score percentage minus monthly savings score percentage, and that equals your want score. Remember, it all adds up to 100%. So this worksheet 4 on the last line shows your want score. This is the portion of your monthly income that you are spending on your wants. Remember again, the goal is balance. And for wants, 20 to 30% is balance. If you are in that percentage, your wants is under control. You don't splurge on things you can't afford, but you don't deny yourself anything either. This is a sustainable place for a lifetime of financial peace. Enjoy it. You are in balance. If you have less than 20%, then you are essentially all work and no play. You're spending very little on your wants. You certainly won't get into trouble spending like this on wants. Even so, you should ask yourself, are you making enough room for fun? Are you keeping your wants low because of too many must-haves? Life needs to have space just for fun. Get into a place where there is room for a little more enjoyment if you're less than 20%. The last result is a splurger if your percentage is more than 30% in wants. Does it seem like the money flies out of your hands and you're never sure where it goes? Well, at this percentage, your want spending is out of balance. Does this mean you need to cut back? Probably. If you're having trouble putting away enough for the future, then cutting back on your wants is the right move for you. and later on we will show you how. Now, by way of review, we're looking at a lifetime of balance. We want to take a look at how your money compares with the balanced money formula. So you pull your results from the earlier worksheets to fill in your balanced money score. First thing is wants should be 30%. What was your score? Next is savings should be 20%. What's your score? And last is must-haves should be 50%. What is your score? With this, you have it all in one place, a summary of where you stand with your money. You can see it all at once. The money you earn, the money you spend, the money you save is all accounted for. Now you know where you stand. Remember how we said that understanding the problem is half the battle, or well begun is half done? Well, now you've won half the battle and you're only on step one. It may not feel that way yet, but getting a clear picture of exactly where you are and where you need to go is central to your success. Now we'll get into help with your must-haves, your wants, and your savings, getting them into balance step by step. The All Your Worth system will help you create a lifetime of balance. You know where you are and where you are headed. Now you are ready to take the next steps to seize control over your money and to build a lifetime of comfort and riches. Professor Warren and Amelia, her daughter, get into the next step, which is to escape from thinking traps. You've learned the balanced money formula. You've measured your own money balance. You know where you need to go. Maybe you're all revved up, ready to start making the most of your worth. And then again, maybe you're developing a big case of buts. But I live in Chicago or Los Angeles, New York, Boston, name the city you want, where housing prices are through the roof. But I have kids. But my wife doesn't work. But I'm a waiter or a sales clerk or an actor or a teacher or a minister or name the job. But I'm self-employed. But my credit card balance is bigger than the national debt. But the economy stinks. But I'm too old. But I'm too young. But I'm married. But I'm single. Okay, that's a lot of buts. Now, that's out in the open. You have 100 good reasons why your spending is out of balance. 100 good reasons why your costs are too high and your income is too low. 100 good reasons not to change. And only one reason to change, because change is the only way to make things better. You cannot conclude that everything is hopeless. And as far as All Your Worth is concerned, and you listening to this show, you should be thinking, maybe, just maybe, you can get straight with your money once and for all. Getting straight with your money happens in your head, not just your wallet. That's not a bunch of psychobabble. It is the plain and practical truth. Because if you tell yourself, I can't do this because, then of course, you can't do it. Getting your money in balance is like anything else in life. You must believe in your ability to succeed. The mind and consciousness is a very powerful foundation for success. Elizabeth tells the story when Amelia's brother Alex was a little fellow. He announced at the ripe old age of 6, I don't swim, and that was that. They could spend an afternoon in the municipal pool and he wouldn't get his bathing suit wet. 2 rounds of swimming lessons hadn't made a dent. But they were moving so Elizabeth could take a new teaching job and they would be staying at a place with a pool. It was just plain dangerous to have a 6-year-old who could fall in and sink like a rock, and Elizabeth was getting desperate. So, with a move less than a month away, she took Alex to a neighborhood teenager who posted a notice at the grocery store promising to teach any child to swim. And I'll come back to this after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. So back to Alex. When they showed up for his first lesson, the girl eyed Alex silently for a long time. Then she said, "I'm not sure he'll be able to swim. I'll need to measure him." Elizabeth started out of her chair. She wasn't paying this girl to tell her son he couldn't swim. But the girl shook her head quietly. Then, like a surgeon gathering her instruments, the girl took out a tape measure, a scale, and a notepad. She measured his height and the span of his arms, and she weighed him. She told Alex to touch his toes and then stretch his arms high in the air. When the exercise was over, she sat quietly, writing line after line in her notebook. As the minutes ticked by, Alex stared intently at her pencil, convinced that his future lay in her notebook. Finally, the girl laid down the pencil and looked at Alex. She says, "Not every boy is cut out for swimming, Alex, but you rate very high on the swimmability matrix. You have the markings of a fine swimmer." Alex's little chest puffed out proudly as a grin crept over his face. He strode to the edge of the pool and slowly stepped into the shallow end, keeping his cool as the water rose to his thighs, then his chest, then his neck. And, you guessed it, within the week, he was swimming like a fish. Of course, we can't guarantee that you will succeed. But we can guarantee that unless you believe that success is possible, nothing will change. If you persuade yourself that you are destined to fail, then that's one prophecy that will come true for sure. All your worth asks for some hard work and some lifelong changes, and that can happen if you quit before you start. We're not going to hit you with a bunch of gobbledygook or ask you to get in touch with your inner millionaire. Instead, we're going to lay out a very simple two-part approach to help you get ready for success. The first thing we're going to do is get you to identify the negative thinking traps that may be preventing you from accomplishing all your goals. Secondly, you will learn how to assess the role that negative thinking traps play in your life and then banish them once and for all. That's it. Find the traps and get rid of them. This may sound very simple, but the effect is incredibly powerful. If you believe that you are in control of your future and you can get straight with your money, then there is no telling just how far you can go. Now, the first, as I said, was identify your negative thinking traps. There you stand, ready to try something new, and then bam! A trap you didn't even see grabs you by the leg and stops you dead in your tracks. You don't change anything, not because something happened in the real world, but because something happened in your head. A self-destructive belief, a negative thinking trap, takes hold and persuades you that you are destined to fail. Negative thinking traps develop a momentum of their own. Living with debt and fear can become a habit, rather like smoking or overeating. It's something you get used to, something you build into your daily routine. After a while, you begin to believe there is no other way. Even if there are material changes in your life, you get a raise, the babies grow up, you don't even notice that things could be better because you hold so tightly to the belief that failure and anxiety are an inevitable part of your life. It's really time to identify your negative thinking traps. We're going to help you name your traps one by one. The amazing thing about this exercise is that so long as the traps stay carefully concealed in the shadows, they are powerful. You can't move for fear of getting caught. But once they are uncovered, once you can see them and poke at them a little, their power seems to fade away. After a while, they are nothing more than rusty reminders of an earlier life you have long since left behind. And you may want to write these down because these are several of the most common negative thinking traps. So you can begin to uncover them, exposing them to the bright lights and ending their powerful hold. The first is the all or nothing. I'll never stick to a budget. My credit is ruined, so why bother? I always carry a balance on my credit card. So what we heard was never, always, forever. These are the hallmarks of all or nothing thinking. All or nothing thoughts add up to one thing. If I can't be perfect, there's no point in trying to be better. One little mistake, one little stumble, and it's all over but the weeping. Quit at the first misstep. Does that sound familiar? Over the years, we have seen the concept of financial balance provoke an attack of all or nothing fatalism in otherwise reasonable people. I'll never cover my must-haves on half my income. I can't save $2, let alone 20%. Maybe you feel the same way. Maybe you looked at the 50-30-20 formula and you wanted to throw that concept into the garbage and shout, "I can't do that." If that's how you're feeling, then please listen very carefully. All you're worth is a long-term plan, a lifetime plan. It's about moving toward a better place, no matter where you start. It's about setting a clear goal while managing the ups and downs that are part of every life. All you're worth is not all or nothing. Getting your money into perfect balance may not be possible for you, or at least not right this minute. Maybe you signed a bunch of long-term contracts that you can't get out of. Maybe you are out of work. Maybe you have been robbed. We get it. There may be real circumstances that prevent you from hitting the 50-30-20 goal immediately. What then? Remember your mother's advice. Just do your best. If you can't save 20%, can you save 15%? If you can't get your must-haves down to 50%, can you get them down to 55%? Getting your money in balance is one of those things where close really counts. So the rule is, if you can't get your money into perfect balance, get as close as you can. Consider Ross Penin. After he added up all the numbers, Ross looked at Amelia Tyagi with his jaw set. Nope, can't do it. Before she could say a word, he rushed ahead. He had to pay child support, and rent was high, and he was at 58% on must-haves, and balance might work for other people, but not for him. When he finally paused for a breath, Amelia asked quietly, "Could you do 54%? Ross was clearly taken aback. "But I can't do 50. She pushed back, "Try 54. He resisted a little longer. "But it's supposed to be 50. Eventually, he gave it a try. Within 2 months, he had pulled his must-have expenses to 54%. More important, he trimmed his wants from 42% to a dead-on 30%, something he would never have tried if he had insisted on all or nothing. Then, after more than a decade of living paycheck to paycheck, he began socking away a steady 16% of his income every single month. In short, that is a giant stride ahead. Elizabeth Warren met with Ross a little over a year later. He was still somewhat combative, and his tendency for perfectionism hadn't disappeared. But there was a certain pride that she hadn't seen before. Quote, "I got a daughter who's a junior at Colorado State. I always told her I didn't have any money, so after a while, she just stopped asking. But I started saving up, and I finally sent her something. Just $1,000, but I'm proud to finally help her out a little, you know. I look at where I used to be, and I go, damn, I'm glad I'm not there anymore." End quote. And we will continue the All Your Worth story in the next show. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous, debt-manageable life.